I've gotten out of prison several times in my life. Several times I've gotten out of prison. And I've come to the knowledge and the understanding that it does no good getting out of prison if you bring prison with you. My prayer used to be, Lord, I don't want to go around ungodly people. And God's got a sense of humor. Not only does God have a sense of humor, but God has a way of doing it the way he wants to do things. Because I got saved and went to prison. And if you say, people say, it's always easy to be saved in prison. Not if you're really saved. If you're really saved in prison, it's not easy at all. You know, the first couple of bits I went through there, I was on the Wall of Fame in Westville for scoring the most points in this and that, hitting home runs down in Michigan City, all these things. My name was big down there in the prison, running with the Black Gangster Disciples and all those kind of things. And it was easy bitten for me, basically. But when I got saved, that was the roughest bit I've been through. That was the roughest bit I've been through. Because even in there, see, and we all have a need. We have a basic need to be accepted. Nobody wants to be ostracized among their peers, no matter where you are. Because I went in saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and I had my mind made up that I wasn't going back. And I would get in there and I'd live right, and man, I got challenged in every which way, man. I got called the police. I got called a snitch. I got called there. See, and you know what? That stuff used to bother me before I got saved. That would bother me, man. You're calling me the police, man. You're calling me a snitch. All this kind of stuff, you know. Be ready to fight over that. I learned something. I had to take a look at some realities in our society and to the way the mind of a criminal thinks. And I was a criminal. I wasn't no baby criminal. I was a criminal. And the way the mindset of a criminal thinks was this. Somebody can go in this old lady's house, beat her down and hurt her, and take her stuff, 75, 76 years old, right? But the allegiance in the mind of a criminal is, hey, don't tell on him. Notwithstanding this 75-year-old lady whose life has just been altered, who's been maimed or hurt or whatever, the allegiance in the mind of a criminal for me was, hey, I ain't no snitch. Isn't that silly? Isn't that silly? And until I began to understand how silly that was, I carried that prison mentality with me everywhere I went. You know, I had to learn that things. I remember I got my first car. I brought a 1978, December 21st, I brought my first car. It was a 74 Chevy Impala. A little while later, I bought another car because the guy was selling it cheap, you know. And I bought that car, but I wanted to keep the spare tire off of this old Oldsmobile when I sold it in the trunk of my Chevy. Why? Think about what I just said. It doesn't fit. It doesn't work. There's nothing I can do with it. It was useful to me at one point in my life. It was no longer useful to me. Why am I still carrying that garbage with me? I had to learn that in my own life. You know, I used to belong to the Black Gangster Disciples, and I was proud of it back in the day. And I'd be in prison and have a little woman waiting on me out there and whatever. You know, I'm trying to run the house from the prison, talking crazy like I'm really running something. Don't have two nickels to rub together. But I got my little my flag tied up over the fireplace in the house, right around the pictures and stuff. Well, I got saved. I said, get that junk out of there. I said, don't even throw it away in the house. Take that junk out of the house. Because God's not going to molest you. He's not going to take things from you. You have to want to give these things up. And if you bring those things with you, you're going to use them. Yeah, I remember the times, even when I was on the street, when I used to carry a little pistol sometime. I didn't always carry one because I was a real dope fiend. Because when I ran out of dope, I was going to sell the pistol. That was my forte. But when I did have one, I'd be in the house and somebody knocked on the door, my first thing, I grabbed my pistol. because my mindset was different, because now I have this pistol in my pocket. In my mind, I'm somebody or something that I never really was supposed to be in the first place. And I began to act on those things I believe. But when I would get rid of that thing, I didn't act like that. So when I got saved, I had to ask myself, I had to let some things go, man. I had to really let it go. I mean, I had a bunkie in jail. I'm going to get into the word just a second. I'm not going to be long tonight. But I had a bunkie in the county, a little young guy. I would help him out. I was blessed to have a lot of Zuzus and Wham Wham, stuff like that. I bought him Long Johns and stuff like that. But I would go down to the substance abuse class or whatever, and he would steal from me. Now, he would steal stuff out of my bag. Now, I'm on the block with some relatives. I'm on the block with people that used to belong to the Black Gangster Disciples. I'm on the block with people who expected me to act on this thing, you know. So what I did, I grabbed my bag. I had two bags. I grabbed my bags. I started carrying my bags with me. People said, man, why you got them big old bags with you, Lyle? I said, my bunkie's stealing from me. Now, that bugged him. So one morning at breakfast, he got up on the braids and he started calling me names and started calling me all these kind of things and this and that. You know, the battle's not mine, it's but the Lord's. Because he was calling me them names from 75 feet away. You know what I mean? See, God had already put things in me. God knew what he put. I'm going to tell you, your gifts come to our repentance. God knew I was never a pushover. I was never soft. But my heart had softened. I didn't want to fight that young guy, Bob. I didn't want to hurt that young man. Not over no candy. But I just wanted to expose him and let him leave my stuff alone. So, but he never came down those steps. A few days later, I'm sitting in my room. I'm reading my Bible. And three guys come in my room. One of them we still laugh about today. We're pretty good friends. We've always been, they used to belong to the Black Gangster Disciples. And they come in my room and he got me, he said, old school. He said, we think you getting soft. Said, we think you telling. We think you the police. They said, you got 1 hour to get off the block. I looked up at these guys. I smiled a little bit and set my Bible on the side of my bunk and put my glasses down and I stood up. And them two young boys remember what they had heard about me. They had heard stories. They knew. I didn't know them personally. I knew this one in the front. Man, I got up and stepped up and them two young dudes flew out that door. Other guy looked back. He stood back. He got ready to get his test. He looked back, see them guys was gone. He said, loud, 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 loud. Because he knew that's not really what he wanted to do. And I'm not saying that because I'm tough. I'm telling you. You don't have to do those things no more. You know, I didn't have to cuss. I didn't have to get loud. I mean, I was sitting in prison reading my Bible another time. And this guy walked by, a little old guy, about this tall. Went by and just snitch. I didn't even know the guy. I didn't know his name. I didn't know his first name, where he's from. Didn't know nothing about him. Hadn't told on nobody about nothing in my life. But that's what the enemy tries to do. He wants to bring you back. And as long as you carry that mentality, you know what? You're going back. You carry that mentality with you. You're going back. I had to get that junk out of my head. I had to leave it alone. It was times I'd get by myself, get on my knees, and there would be tears coming down my face because I really wanted to act out on some things. You know, and about that time, I think I had defeated some things. Then when I got out, God began to bring, I mean, the enemy began to bring things to me that I used to couldn't resist. So I found myself going back saved, delivered, clean, going back doing things I had no business doing, tricking. I'd go back and buy, I found myself buying dope to give to one of them girls. But yet I'm talking about I'm saved, I'm living right. Clean and living dirty. What I'm trying to tell you can't take some things with you. You have to make preparations. You got to be deliberate in what you're doing. You got to quit having them secret meetings with yourself. Because an addict or a criminal alone is in bad company. Because I would tell myself anything. I would justify anything in my life. And it was okay. Well, I'm not using. Wait a minute. But you're speaking every time your anniversary come up in Narcotics Anonymous, you up there speaking. But you're buying dope. You're feeding dope to some of the girls in the room. Clean and living dirty. I had to get out of that mindset. So what I'm trying to say is, the first day God's delivered me, God delivered me on May 21st, 2011. I got saved. I've been saved ever since that day. But I've done some dumb things since that day. But I'm starting to grow because I wasn't ready for everything. That's because God saved me at 6 months clean didn't mean I was ready for everything. I had to grow. You realize when David got anointed king, he was 17 years old. When Samuel anointed David king, he was 17 years old. But when did David take the throne? 30. David took the throne at 30 years old. But let me ask you this. When was David the king? When was he the king? God has called you to some things. And don't think he hasn't. He's called you to those things, and you are those things right now. But you have to walk in your calling. You have to get among the men and women of God and let them hand walk you through some things and let them show you about the mistakes that they made, because we all have made some mistakes because we didn't know. You know, it's like if you had to get your appendix taken out tomorrow and you had two doctors, you had a choice. Now, one doctor went to a college and learned from other doctors. The other doctor read the book. Now, which doctor are you putting yourself under? Christianity is the only thing that we think we can teach ourselves. The Bible says the Holy Ghost will teach us all things and bring things to our remembrance, but we have to let men. When Philip run up to the eunuch on the chariot, he saw him reading Isaiah. He's reading the book of Isaiah. He was reading the book of Isaiah. In case you didn't hear me, I said he was reading the book of Isaiah. And Philip asked him, he said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He said, "How can I unless somebody help me? How can I?" See, we want to get in that thing. And I learned that's a trick of the enemy, because I was one of those people. Nobody's going to teach me. I'll get in a room and read by myself. And I read a lot. I have read a lot. But what that really was I didn't want to be accountable to nobody. Be careful. When you get to the mindset where you don't want to be accountable, because that's what that is. I have no problem being accountable today. I have no problem. I've talked to Martin about some of the dumbest things I've done. Talk to him about some of the craziest things that are on my mind, because I don't want to live that way anymore. You know, I guess if I was going to title this sermon anything, it would be one of two things: stay out of those secret meetings, or let me read this. So this is talking about Elisha. Elijah seen Elisha, and he walked up to him while he was plowing the field. Plowing the field is not a bad thing. You got a family, he's plowing the field. It's not a bad thing. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed him by and cast his mantle upon him. He threw his mantle upon him and let him know, "Hey, God's calling you. Come on and follow me." Somewhere, somehow, you heard the calling of God, he wouldn't be sitting here tonight. Somewhere, somehow, you heard the calling of God, and you wouldn't even be sitting here tonight. The food is great, but somehow, somewhere, if you heard the calling of God, or you wouldn't even be sitting here, because the enemy would take you back to what you're used to doing. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, then I will follow thee." And he said unto him, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" He told him, "All right, go on back. Go on, he's not going to molest you. God's not going to molest you. He's not going to drag you. Go on back if you want to." See, because I have learned some things, man, in my older age. There's reasons and there's excuses. I had to get out of those excuses. I had to exhaust every excuse in my life on why not to live right. I had to exhaust every excuse in my life on why I would use. I had to get rid of those excuses, because that's all they are, is excuses. They're not reasons. But then when Elijah realized what was going on, he knew this was the calling of God. He knew that God was calling him. This was his chance. Then it says, and he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Now, the oxen and the plow was not a bad thing, but Elisha knew this was God's calling in his life, and he figured, I'm going to close the door on yesterday. So he took that ox, he took that plow, broke it up, set it on fire, and he cooked those oxen in that fire. He closed down the way to ever get back to that. He closed it down. That's what we got to do. We got to shut some things down so we can't get back to it. So the second title of this thing would be, burn that plow and cook that cow. We got to get rid of those things we keep holding on to. You'd be surprised. I ride down some streets sometime at night and look at the houses. I remember the things I did in those houses. I remember what I was doing, what was going on in those houses. And you know what? And then, you know, when I first got home, I'd find myself riding around looking. Excuse me. I'd be riding around those houses. Let me get a piece of tissue. You got some napkin. There you go. Thank you. Thank you. And I'd find myself running around looking. What am I looking for? You know what that does. What am I looking for? You know what it does. You know what a crap pipe does. You know what that old bottle, you know, you tell yourself, you know, you got a problem with alcohol, but you tell yourself, well, I'm going to keep this old, these couple bottles in here just in case somebody come over. You know what I mean? You know what? For what? You know what it does. You know what it did to you. You know where it's going to take you. And then sooner or later, in the middle of the night, you have that secret meeting with yourself. There comes that secret meeting with that fool. Now, I've had a lot of secret meetings with that fool. You know what, man? Ain't nobody going to know, man. Look at you. You looking good. You doing this now. Ain't nobody going to know, Lyle. Ain't nobody going to know, Lyle. And then you find yourself losing a battle that God had already given you. I find myself about to start over and struggle again from something that God had already delivered me from. You know, when they marched around Jericho, God told them, now this time, see, because that was the first one. See, God wants the first fruit of your life. And that was the first one. That was the first battle the children of Israel went through. They said, listen, don't take none of the plunder. Kill everybody in there, but leave the stuff on the ground, because God's got you. Don't think because you left this or lost that job or gave that job up or put that down that God don't got you. He got you. When he tells you to put it down, leave it. He said, leave that plunder on the ground. Don't mess with none of it. So they went in and they were doing their thing, and there was a young man by the name of Achan. Achan of Carmi. Achan seen all this stuff on the ground. He decided to get him a few shekels of gold. He decided to get some silver. He decided to get a few robes. Nobody's going to know. You know how many people with the children of Israel? How are you going to see all that in the middle of a battle when the night is going on? Nobody's going to know. So he took it and he hid it in his tent. Got it back home. Don't nobody know. He's going to use it when he's ready. And then they decided they were going to go fight a little town called Ai. Now, Moses said, you know what? It's a small place. We don't need everybody. Just send a few soldiers. We take care of that. But they went over there and got beat half to death. Then they came back running down on the ground. I can only imagine, I'm paraphrasing what God said. Now you're on the ground crying, oh, Lord, what's going on? I can imagine the Lord looked down at him and said, hey, what you on the ground for? See, you and I got a deal. See, God has made a deal with you. I wasn't there, but you know God has made a deal with you. You've got a deal with God. You've got a covenant with God. You bringing that message to the covenant. You putting the ceiling on the covenant. You bringing that junk around. You tainting your blessing. So he said, get up off the ground. What you crying for? He said, man, you don't see? He said, wait a minute. I gave you that. He said, I gave you that battle. He said, you should have stomped them cats. He says, so it's not me. So I keep my promise. He says, so it's got to be you. It's got to be something that you're doing. because it's got to be you, because you should have smashed them people. So he said, I tell you what, find out what's in your camp. Call everybody out. Company by company, family by family, man by man, and he called them all out. And he found Achan had that cursed thing in the camp. You can't win with that cursed thing in the camp. You can come in here sometime and you may think, there's a young man that I met in here, as a matter of fact. Got him a job out there with me. Doing great. Just doing great, man. Just bragged on him all the time. We wrote a little story. Because, he had been there a while and doing great and all these kind of things. And he began to tell me things. And see, it's not, when you have, the Bible says, he that has ears, let him hear. It wasn't what he was telling me that was getting my attention. It's what he wasn't saying. God was giving me the story behind the story. And I began to pray for him. And I asked the young man, I said, hey, man, you okay? Oh, yeah. This is okay. And it just, my spirit was kind of vexed. And he came to work one day, and I looked at his face, and there was that spirit. There was that spirit that I'd seen so many times in my own mirror. There was that spirit I'd seen so many times on my own face, in my own person, and I knew. Because he thought I didn't know, but I'm nobody. But because he thought I didn't know, he thought he was going to just be okay. Everything started falling down in his life. You know, it was, I'm not going to go tell all his business, but things started falling down. And all of a sudden they look at him and they fire him from the job. And problems with the family. Just everything. Because he had to hold on to that cursed thing in the camp. He thought he could keep that stuff around him and it wouldn't bother him. He's holding it for his brother. And it's not going to bother you. You can't hold on to that cursed thing in the camp. You've got to burn that plow and cook that cow. You've got to let it go. And the thing about it, we're not going to judge you. I'm not going to judge you. I get calls all the time from the county. Man, I'm back in the county. Can you bring me some money down here, you know? And I have. I've gone now. I'm taking money to different people and stuff like that. I'm not Santa Claus. I'm not a sugar daddy. I'm not those kind of things. But if God puts you on my heart, I'm coming. But then it comes to a point where I'm getting in God's way. God had to shut me out from my family. They had to close the door on me because they were getting in God's way. Every time God tried to help me, they would save me. Every time God tried to help me, see, and I preached a sermon here one night about what is help. I had to first understand what help is. Help is not always comfortable. It's not always comfortable. If you got a growth on your face, they got to cut it off. That's not going to always be comfortable. You got a cavity in your mouth. They got to stick you with them needles and pull out. It's not always comfortable, but it's help. It fixes the situation in the long run. See, all I want to be is whole, man. I don't have to have a lot of money because God made some promises to me and I stand on his promises. He said I would be the head and not the tail. He said I'd be above and not beneath. He said I'd be a lender and not a borrower. God has fixed it so running out of gas and what's for dinner is no longer a problem in my life. And it's not because I'm just this good, handsome, great looking guy. Nothing is because I surrendered my life to God and I tell him when I've made a fool of myself. And I repent and go forward. I confess my sins to God because I do have things going in my life that I'm not proud of. But you know what? They're coming far and few between. They're coming far between now and a year from now. I'm going to do something else stupid because I'm fallible. I'm fallible. That's who I am. But I don't do it intentionally. I don't run into it. But if I allow myself to give place to the devil and hold on to those cursed things from yesterday, if I keep in my camp, same old numbers. Now, what is her number doing in my phone? Know what we used to do. Know where we used to do it. I'm going to help her. I can't help her. Not a position to help her. For one thing, she needs to go to one of them women. We need some women to help her sometime because, hey, the middle of the night coming to my house ain't going to help her. That we have to be the blind leading the blind. Because at that time, if you were a dope fiend like I was, once the ritual starts, the ritual starts. See, getting high hasn't been an issue for me in 9 years. That hasn't been an issue. But the women have been issuing for me at one point. Because once they come, once they're in the house, and we're now, ain't nobody here but us, you know, we ain't going to do all this. Maybe we can do this. Then you feel guilty. Then you wonder why I can't read when I'm trying to read in the morning. When I get in my word, I wonder why I can't go no further here. I can't get no answer. I can't get no breakthrough because I'm not clean. I'm holding that cursed thing in my camp. And the word, John 9:31, says that we know that God does not hear the prayers of a sinner. Now, that verse has been disputed, Bob, quite a bit. You can dispute it how you want to dispute it. I'm going to take it literally. I don't want to take a chance. As for me and my house, I don't want to take a chance. It might just mean what it says. I don't want to take that chance. So I want to do the best I can to live right. That doesn't make me perfect on this earth, because anytime you don't do what your neighbor wants you to do, anytime you don't do what your woman wants you to do, anytime you don't do what that Me Too fool wants you to do, then you're not perfect in his eyes. But you can be perfect in the eyes of God. Because God set a system up. He said, I made it so simple that even a fool can't err. In other words, you're going to reap what you sow. There are some laws God put in place that you can't get around. The law of reciprocity. Give and it should be given back to you. The law of reaping and sowing. Loosing and binding. What you loose on earth, he's going to loose in heaven. What you sow, you're going to reap. And Galatians 6:7 said, do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. So a man soweth, that also shall he reap. Just because you don't believe in that. He set a law in place called gravity. It's a law that God set in place. The law of gravity. Lean off the edge of that building. Just because you don't believe in it, see if you'll float. God set these laws in place, and I believe in doing the best I can to try to hold on to them laws. But we got to quit bringing that stuff from yesterday. The same phone calls. You know that call ain't doing you no good. That number out your phone, man. You got it back there just in case. You know, like I said before, a couple weeks ago, I got this number in my phone. So then I call myself going to fool somebody. But I can't fool God. What I do is I'll erase the number out of my phone, right? But I didn't block the number, so she going to call back anyway. So when she calls, I'll talk to her. You know, hey, what's up? What's up? You know. So what I had to do now, what I did, I blocked the number first. Then I deleted it out of my phone. I had to burn that plow and cook that cow. And you can go forward because God has already called you. He got you. And it says, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor set in the way of the sinners. No standing where the sinners are set in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in this law do he meditate both what? Day and night. He shall be what? Like a tree planted by the river that does what? Bring forth his fruit when? In his season. In his season. In his season. God called me a long time ago, but I didn't answer. It wasn't my season. Because I wasn't waiting on God. I didn't let God fortify me. I didn't let God fill me. I didn't let God send me. I just went. And every time I just went, I fell flat on my face. Preaching one day and in the dope house the next day. Guy looked at me one night and told me, hey, Lyle, I'm in the dope house. Just took a big old hit. He told me, hey, Lyle, you still preaching? I couldn't even talk. Mouth stuck, looking crazy. Yeah, you know, because what did I do? I made a mockery of God. Made a mockery of myself. How am I going to preach? I said, faith come by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. It says, how can one hear unless they have a preacher? Then it says, how can one preach unless he has been sent? So these are just some things. Just wanted to touch with somebody tonight. Just touch base on, we got to get rid of yesterday. We don't need that. You know, I look at my closet now. I got an old Coogee sweater and a few old things there that used to be fly back in the day. They're old now, but I won't get rid of them. Get rid of that junk. I don't have no room in my house for nothing because I got shoes all lined up all around my bedroom, all on this thing. I got 40 pair of shoes. Sure, I don't even wear some of them. I haven't worn 10 or 15 pair of them shoes in years. But I'm keeping them, hoarding them. I'm telling on myself, I gotta give that stuff to somebody. God can't bring what's next for me if I keep holding that old stuff. I gotta let that junk go, man. I got to stay humble. I can't think more of myself than God is, because it's not me, but it's the God that lives in me. Because I'm an old lying, dope fiend thief, saved by the grace of God. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd be in here with a whole other swag. A guy asked me one time, man, I heard you doing this, Lyle, I heard you doing that. He said, how I know you changed, Lyle? I said, well, one thing, if I hadn't changed, brother, you wouldn't have to ask. Because there's people in this room who knew me. You wouldn't have to ask, because I'd be on something totally different when we walked up. My walk would be different. My conversation would be different. My attitude would be different. But you can make it. We keep on losing and we keep saying God wasn't there. God's not going to molest you. He's not going to take things from you that you won't give him. Y'all look at my mother, but my mother got saved years ago, and I'm going to get ready to close. My mother got saved years ago, and I didn't believe that because my mother's a pistolero. I watched my mother shoot people. I watched my mother when we was little kids. She was four of us. We walking, and a dog come running out. We walking down the street. Bow! My mom would shoot him before he get to her kids. I watched my mom. You know, and some of y'all know my sister, Eunice. Sister Eunice from Carousel. Yes. But she'd tell you the same stuff. My mom carried her pistol to church. See, because mama wasn't saved. Mama was just hanging out in the church. I'm talking about on the usher board and in the choir. So we thought that's all it was. You go to church, that was just enough. See, mama carried her pistol in her purse. I mean, in her pocket. Her purse on her arm. You grab that purse, you got the wrong end of the bull, buddy. You know what I mean? Well, I'm telling you. But I watched my mama shoot my daddy. In the home, I was standing right next to her. But when mama got saved, I didn't believe that. I knew something was different. She'd go over here to this church with this little old man over here. Something, I'm looking at the little old man. Little old man's funny to me because there was something going on in that little old church. There was something going on in that little country church I didn't quite understand because mama was different. And I said, well, no, mama's still mama. And one day mama came to me and she bought me her pistol. Now see, had she been mature, she might not have gave me that pistol. See, because even say if she wasn't mature enough yet, she didn't understand. But she knew one thing. She didn't want to go back there. She said, take this pistol, Lyle. She said, I don't need it no more. I knew something was different in my mother. That's what we have to do. We got to get hold of that thing that keeps taking you backwards and get it out. You brought it with you. You bought it with you. You can't blame the case manager. You can't blame the police. You can't blame Marvin. I used to want to blame Marvin. I don't blame people. Well, he can't keep me clean. Marvin got a wife and a family. How you going to keep me clean? I'm a grown man. But I wanted to blame those people and those things because I couldn't hold on because I was carrying stuff I had no business carrying. Singing them songs I ain't got no business singing. Running around with the people I ain't got no business running around with. Dressing with my hat kicked to the right. All that old junk. I never did do the sagging thing. I was old by the time that came around. I don't think I'd have sagged no way. I ain't pulling my pants down like that. But anyway, man, I had to start to do what a man do. I remember I got a job. This is the last thing I'm saying. I'm going to close. I remember I told my daddy when I first started getting saved. He never got a chance to see me living saved. But I got saved years ago when I come in his house. I'm standing there talking. Hey, Pops, I got a job. Daddy ain't say nothing. Mama cooking on the stove. I ain't thought he heard me. I said, hey, Pops, I got a job. He said, so? He said, I got a job too. He said, you're a man, you're supposed to have a job. I had to quit looking for a pat on the back for doing what I needed to be doing anyway. When I stopped doing that, God began to advance my life to different places. Sometimes we think we're not making it because we're looking for a pat on the back for doing what we should have been doing in the first place. God bless you. Let's pray.